podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com. The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's always the right time to dress to impress. This season, step out in style with Indochino. They make high-quality custom-fitted suits, shirts, and casual wear, all at a surprisingly affordable price. Each Indochino piece is made to your unique measurements and specifications. Suits start from just $4.29. Dress to impress this season with Indochino. Get $50 off any purchase of $3.99 or more by using promo code IMPRESS at Indochino.com. That's Indochino.com, promo code IMPRESS.
Everton are the Florida Cup champions officially, and it's probably worth celebrating, isn't it? Well, in all seriousness, winning pre-season on penalties, 10-9 in the end. Some good performances, probably more importantly, a great occasion for Blues based in the United States, who got to see the Toffees, got to see James Rodriguez in the flesh. And joining me now is one of them, Jamie Ferguson, based in NYC, US picture editor, music writer for the Daily Mirror, and more importantly for us, a big Evertonian. Jamie, welcome to the show. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, very well. Thanks for having me on.
It's wonderful to get you on. And you were saying there before we hit record that your voice still hasn't quite recovered from an Everton, watching Everton live in the States. I mean, just first and foremost, before we get into the game and some of the new players who were obviously on display, what was the whole experience like for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my voice, it's a bit crackly just because, you know, not being in a stadium for that long and then all, you know, the pre-match stuff with the tailgate and the night before at the pub, it was just insane, really, just getting to see everyone in the flesh and meet all the Evertonians from all over. I was just saying to you before we went on air that there were people from just like Tennessee, Seattle, people like flying, driving 20 hours, some of them even flew in that morning from Seattle overnight, got no sleep. So it's just like very, so impressive to see the support. And obviously all the Blues from the UK couldn't be there, but it would have been worrying how many of us it would have been if that was the case, if people could fly. Because, I mean, it was loud enough. And Millonarios, they brought a lot because obviously they've got their local support. But we were... The tailgate-wise, I think we outnumbered them. It was just more the local support that came in. But yeah, such a great thing to be a part of. And I suppose I'm just lucky to be stuck in the US because I wasn't actually supposed to be back here. I came over in 2020 in February, the day that it got locked down, and just got stuck out here. So I've had to like set up life back over here. So otherwise I would have been in the UK with you guys.
Oh, that's amazing. I thought you'd been based out there for a little bit longer than that. So you sort of, you got there by accident in the end then?
Yeah, so I was working for the Daily Mirror for 5 years, 2 years over here. And then I left and moved to Croatia to run my music travel business. And then as soon as the pandemic hit, you know, music and travel, you know, it didn't really work out. So I've just been back here, came out here for 3 weeks and I've been here ever since. And just trying to build the company back up again. And hopefully we can get back to normality soon and I'll be able to come back and see all my family in the UK and the other side of my family in Australia. So they're even further away.
Absolutely, man. I mean, there's a couple of things you mentioned there that I wanted to pick up on. And one of them was obviously just being back in a stadium. And I think that's obviously we're starting to see things open up over here a little bit more over the summer with some of the Euros and stuff like that. But when was the last time you were in a full stadium or a, you know, a partly full stadium before the weekend?
Well, I went back to Australia for my brother's wedding in November. So I had to do the 2 weeks in hotel quarantine, which was, don't get me started on that. Don't want to relive it. But we actually went to an Australia versus India one day cricket match because I love my cricket as well. And that was about, at the SCG, about 30,000 people. So that was the last time I was in a proper stadium. Obviously not singing Everton songs, so my voice is intact. But it was my brother's stag do, so it was a bit rough. But yeah, like football-wise, it's been... I went to when Carlo Ancelotti's first game. I think that was around New Year's. 2019, was it?
Yeah, it was Boxing Day, wasn't it? 2019.
Yeah. So went to that. And then I think I went to one after. And then, yeah, the rest is history. Then COVID hit us, really.
Oh, man. And you said about the away fans as well. They seem to create a bit of a din inside the stadium. Did it sort of make it feel like it meant a bit more than a friendly because of the sort of edge that was there?
Yeah, I'm not sure how it was on TV. I haven't actually had a chance to watch it back, only the highlights. But they were making some racket. They were just across from us at the tailgate. They were painting signs, welcoming the team bus in with flares. And then in the ground, they just had all the drums. They went to some effort, to be fair. Like, it was just such a good atmosphere in there. Everyone was so friendly. Like, obviously, there's not going to be any trouble. And it was just a great atmosphere. A lot of Millenaris fans were actually in the Everton end just because they were wearing like Millenaris or Columbia Hammers shirts. And God, the reception that Hammers got obviously was insane. Just the love that everyone shares for him. All the little kids like shouting, Hammers, 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 like trying to get a piece of him. One kid, I think the parents just threw him on the pitch and he legged it. Met Hammers in the center circle and two stewards just started pegging it towards him and Hammers just grabbed him and held him tight. He looked so scared that they were gonna, you know, pick him up and take him out. And Hammers protected him, got a picture, it was really nice. And then he went and got his daughter and his son from the Millenaris section and brought them in, played, I think they did a penalty shootout with the little boy, which is cute. But yeah, the fans all round were top quality.
Oh, amazing. And before we come on to speak about some of the players who impressed there, let's talk about the man you mentioned there. James Rodriguez is an existing person. He does play for Everton. You could confirm that, mate, because you've seen it. You've seen it in the flesh. You know, that you are one of the few Evertonians to have actually seen this man kick a ball in a royal blue shirt. What was it like? I mean, did he play well? Because unfortunately, I had a 6 a.m. shift on Monday, so I couldn't stay up and watch the whole game, but I've seen the highlights. Didn't seem to feature much in that, but what was it like? How did he play?
He cruises through games, doesn't he? I think because he played, I think this is where he's best suited, just behind the striker, and with DCL, hopefully that'll work well, and with Alan and Decoy, once they're fit, it's going to, hopefully it'll click, where in my head it would, but on the weekend's game, I think it was more him just cruising through the game. The touches that he had were incredible. He only took one corner near us, which I actually got on video when Townsend hit the bar. But he is world-class. Like, every touch he has, his movement. And you can see he makes players around him better as well.
Yeah, and just on him in general, I'd be interested to get your thoughts on this. I mean, a lot of people have been picking up on the fact that, you know, I think people sort of expect him to come back to pre-season with Carlo not being there. And be unhappy with sort of his nemesis as a manager and Benitez being there and be a little bit unhappy. But he seems to be really enjoying his footy, really enjoy being back at the moment. Did that come across at all in how he was at the weekend? And can you foresee a situation where he stays with us this season?
I hope so. There's nothing to say that he's not everything. He's, you know, the interview that he did with Everton, he was really positive about what's ahead, getting himself in the best shape possible, talking about European ambitions for Everton, not just himself. So I think it's just paper talk, you know what it's like this time of the year. But I'd love to see him in blue come the start of the season. And to be fair, you know, if we get rid of him, we're going to be looking to make a decent profit. So yeah, here's hoping he stays in blue because I think he can be an integral part this season for us. We need that world-class quality in the team.
Yeah, just one game will be enough for me, so I get to see him as well.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
So I can validate myself. It's not just all been a mad fever dream over the past the past year or so. But let's get on to speaking about the new lads, or just the team in general. I mean, who impressed you the most in person on Sunday, Jamie?
I think first half we didn't come out the blocks too quickly. It was pretty humid, but particularly second half, Nathan Broadhead was quality, really lively. Won us the penalty. He had one little bit where he got to a one-on-one situation on the halfway line, put it round a player. To be fair, he could have squared it at one point to Damari Gray, but, you know, I'm a striker, so I would have taken it on myself as well. Who else? I mean, we looked solid at the back. Godfrey and Holgate played in the first half. I think Godfrey played the whole game, actually. And then Lewis Gibson came on. He played all right. Decore and Allen were busy, but I think they just need to get fit. It was more a case of getting the miles in their legs and no injuries, really. And Townsend, he's someone that I think could impress this season. I'm really looking forward to, you know, in the interviews he spoke well about he's got a point to prove it playing for a big club. Not that Palace aren't a big club, but, you know, we are massive. And he's really excited to step up to that level, as he said. And he doesn't look out of place in the team. He's got pace in behind. A few times Hammers just looked up and pinged it over the top, and one he got through on and the other got cut out. But yeah, I think Townsend's one to watch this season, hopefully.
Yeah, fingers crossed he says it to be a really good sign, and good to know as well, mate, that we've got a lot of lads who can stick penalties away.
Exactly. I
bet you thought it was never going to end.
I know. It was getting to that point. Thank God for Begovic. But yeah, it's good to see, because it was at our end as well. So we got our money's worth.
Brilliant stuff. But Damari Gray, what did you make of him on his first? I think Benitez said that he tried to use him behind the centre forward, didn't he? And I think that's potentially an area that he could look to be deployed this season.
Yeah, he was lively. I mean, he got the... That takes some balls to step up on your debut and grab the first penalty. So kudos to him. And yeah, he has got pace, and that's what we need. We need wide men with pace that can cut in. And let's see. I mean, I listened to the interview with the guy from Leicester, and it was interesting to get his thoughts. And hopefully he's not one of those players that his confidence goes down and then he slumps his shoulders, because you know what Goodison's like if players do that. We need him to be firing and giving his all for the club.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, good to see him step up and want to take that penalty at least. And just before we get on to your evening with Tim Howard, which obviously happened a night later, I seen today you were actually having a conversation with a few Blues on Twitter about Everton sort of making the most of the presence in the US. Obviously, the Florida Cup is sort of, you know, the importance of it's probably dwindled, the significance has dwindled of Arsenal and Inter Milan pulling out, but you were there. What did you make of it from that point of view? Because I saw you saying that the club didn't have much on sale, but they gave quite a fair bit out for free to supporters.
Yeah, I mean, so the engagement side, that was brilliant. The club put so many different events on, so they've got to take so much credit. There were flags, scarves, hats. It was amazing, but the only thing missing is the retail side, which I suppose, like, your other clubs that have come over here, like, in the past, like Spurs and Man United, commercially, they are prepared. They're selling their shirts at the ground. We should have had a big Everton megastore pop-up, really, and capitalised, because all those Colombian fans and the Blues over here would have bought them. Like, I was very surprised. But, I mean, within COVID, you've got to kind of give credit where it's due, and getting the squad out here was a priority, really. So, yeah, I mean, although it's disappointing, we've got access online to get it shipped over anyway, and it was nice to see them giving away some free stuff.
Yeah, difficult, isn't it, in these times, as you mentioned there. And finally, like you said, Tim Howard was sort of the VIP guest for a night last night. You were there. How did that go down?
Oh, yeah, it was brilliant. I mean, Tim Howard, the last couple of days, he's been representing the club brilliantly. He went to the Miami.
I was
going to
say, he must be absolutely knackered. He seems to be doing everything at the moment.
Yeah, because he went down to Miami and put an Everton shirt on the memorial for the people that passed in the condo collapse. Mm. So he was busy yesterday. That was on the news here, just local news, which is great, in all Everton gear. So it's good for the club to see him about. And then he did the Q&A thing before at the tailgate, which was really fun, had a sing-along. And then last night was a night with him, but there was Graham Stewart there. David France spoke, which was really interesting, about his Toffee soccer book. I think he was one of the most interesting people speaking. It's just the history and his memorabilia collection and his story. So I'm not sure if they streamed it last night, but hopefully there's some snippets of it because it's really interesting. And then, yeah, Tim Howard just loves the club. He was just talking and talking about, you know how he is. He just lives and breathes it, much like everyone that's played for the club in the past. And then there was a few other guests, Tony, I think, from Chicago Evertonians, who's played a big part in getting everything set up and organising it. And then there was the guy, I can't remember his name, the marketing guy, the US marketing. I'm not sure if you know his name, but he was just talking about how their plans to strategically take the club forward, and they're tapping into the market here, which is a bit different, and using TikTok and other ways to engage in younger audiences. And yeah, it was interesting. It was a sales pitch, really, but you know, he talked a lot of sense, as marketing guys do. But he seems to know his stuff, and they're making some moves with all the soccer camps here. They've had soccer camps this week and do it lots of strategic partnerships with local clubs, which is good to see.
Good stuff. And finally, mate, I've got to ask you about how do you think the season's going to go? Obviously, we've got a very divisive managerial appointment. Well, maybe not divisive so much. I think people were sort of united on it to begin with. Maybe the stance has softened from a few now, but Benitez is in charge. All our key players are still away, either on international duty or recovering from tournaments. What are you anticipating for the upcoming season?
I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I think Benitez could work out, just because his tactics, he looks like he's getting the squad fit and focused. I mean, you know, last season when we had so many results that we were expected to win and didn't for whatever reason. So I think mentality and drilling it into the squad that this is the way that he wants to play is going to be key, because under Carlo, our identity was lacking a lot. But we have the players there. If we keep Hammers fit, Decore and Allen, you know, the Tottenham game, the first game of last season, we looked like world beaters when we had everyone fit. So as long as we keep everyone fit, hopefully, fingers crossed, Dumfries, I'm not sure if you know more if we're getting him or not.
I'm not going to put myself out there as any kind of ITK, mate. I've seen all that on Twitter the last few days.
it's a dangerous world to be in the no community. Yeah. But yeah, hopefully if we get Dumfries through the door and maybe a couple of others, it should be good. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say sixth place this season.
I'd absolutely take that now if it was up to for sure. But and are you going to be back soon, or are you going to decide to stay out in the States?
As soon as we can fly back, we'll get back. Definitely hope be back around Christmas, I think. But yeah, they keep saying they're going to open up the travel gate between the US and the UK, but as of yet, nothing. So hopefully I'll be back and we'll share a beer in Liverpool.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Well, with Bramley Moor being built, there's not many left at Goodison now, so need to get to as many as we all can from that point of view. But no, Jamie, it's been fascinating speaking to you. Thanks very much for coming on, and hopefully we can get you on again soon to talk more about the Toffees.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Progressive presents Married to Your Home.
I'm such a screw-up.
What? House? Why would you talk like that?
How are you even with a house without a walk-in closet?
Stop. You have more than enough storage.
Oh, yeah. And the unfinished basement. Gross.
We'll finish it eventually. Together.
No matter how much you already love your house, you'll love it more knowing you could save big bundling your home and auto with Progressive. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
Sports Social Podcast Network.